Welcome to It's Pretty Personal, a podcast all about sharing South Asian stories. Hi, thank you for tuning in. It's been a while as I didn't upload an episode last week, but that's because there was just so much happening, like the podcast birthday, my birthday, and also I went into the office for the first time since March 2020. I'm so excited to share with you this episode today, which is something I've been holding on for a while because it was recorded in, I think, November 2020. So if you hear references around Christmas movies, that's literally why. I don't want you to be questioning why they're talking about Christmas movies in June. This episode is all about divorce, something that is very prevalent in our society, but also has a lot of negative connotations attached to it. I'm pretty sure we all know someone that's been through a divorce. Yet in our community, the topic is so stigmatized still. I was trying to find some statistics because, you know, a girl loves some stats. And the most recent UK stats that I found around divorce were from 2019. So the Office of National Statistics, their data shows that 107,599 opposite sex divorces happened in 2019 in England and Wales, which was an increase of 18.4%. And 822 same-sex divorces happened as well in 2019, which is nearly double what it was in 2018. This is what I found really interesting. The majority of divorces of opposite sex couples in 2019 were petitioned by the wife. So in 62% of the cases, the wife filed for divorce. And today I'm joined by Jigna, a full-time finance professional who uses her weekends to create fashion content for her Instagram page. She also uses her platform to discuss a number of taboo topics such as divorce. You might know Jigna as she does talk about her journey with divorce really openly on her Instagram page, which I've linked down below. And while you're at it, check out my Instagram page too, at Pretty Personal, where I post quotes, daily affirmations, and clips from the episode. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to this podcast if you're new, and check out some other episodes because I literally have so many. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, then please do write a 5-star review. Also, you can write your thoughts if you're listening on Apple Podcasts in the review box, and I do read all of them. One quick thing that I did want to get into before we start the episode, and it's the fact that this podcast, It's Pretty Personal, has been nominated for a Listener's Award at the British Podcast Awards, which is amazing. So if you like this episode or you love listening to the podcast, then please do vote. I've linked the voting page down below in the episode description because it really will mean so much to me. Like, I'm just like, what? And I'm so excited for you to listen to this episode. So let's get into it. Hi, Jigna.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I really relate to so much about you because obviously, like, I work in finance and you work in finance and we both love fashion and it's great.
Exactly.
So I have a few questions to get us started and warmed up before we get into our chat, to be honest. So backstory, when me and Jigna first started talking, the first 5 minutes of our conversation was about Black Friday sales.
It really was. We got so carried away.
So I really wanted to ask, what is on your Black Friday list?
So it's a lot of shoes and clothes. I mean, I have a really unhealthy trainer obsession. So I really want some trainers, and then there's little bits and bobs of dresses and things. So I've kept an eye out. I've got screenshots of everything that I want, and hopefully I'll be able to get everything.
Mine is literally buying clothes for when I go back into the office. I'm quite lucky, like, the point where we work, like, we don't have to dress up in, like, business wear or anything, so it's quite casual. So it's like, oh, this is a bit nice when I'm in the office. God knows when I'm going back. The next question is, describe yourself in 3 words.
Oh, I would say I am loyal, fiercely loyal. I'm outgoing and I'm independent. I think those 3 sum me up quite well.
Next question is, if there's one life lesson that you've learned in the past 12 months, what is that?
Do you know what? I think with everything that has gone on with COVID, it's just really made me realize that there are so many things out of your control. Like this year, there were so many things that I'd planned to do. And obviously, everything's been cancelled. None of it has happened. And it's just really made me appreciate the small things. And now, sitting at home on a Friday night and watching Netflix with a takeaway honestly brings me so much happiness. And it's just put everything in perspective for me. And I think this year, I've just really begun to just appreciate the small things.
Definitely. I completely relate to that. Have you started watching Christmas movies yet?
Yeah, I started like 3 weeks ago. There's something wrong with me, honestly. I started about at the beginning of November. My Fridays are now basically Christmas movie days. So, you know, all the cheesy ones on Netflix. I've basically been making my way through those. Yesterday, I started watching The Princess Switch Part 2, which I was really happy about coming out.
Don't say that. I watched it yesterday too.
Amazing. I think, do you know, I saw it on the Netflix homepage and I was like, well, this is the perfect Saturday night in lockdown. What else am I going to do?
I started doing it where like I'll watch it with my friends. We'll have it on like an iPad and then we'll FaceTime each other and we'll watch it like together. So it's like we're watching a film, but we're not really like a virtual movie night kind of thing. I love that kind of for Christmas films, like the ones with like Vanessa Hudgens or like, I don't know if you've seen that like Operation Christmas Drop or something like that.
No, but it's on my list.
It's so good.
Really? Okay, I'll watch it tonight then.
It's really like cute, like heartwarming.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's definitely happening tonight then.
And the final question is, if you can fix one problem in society right now, and I know there's a lot, what would it be?
I think if I could fix one thing, I would remove any form of judgment. I think these days there's so much judgment about what people are doing. And I think it's because of social media and everyone feels that they have this right to judge people and comment on everything that they're doing. And I'm very much of the mentality where I'm like, you do you, let people do what they want, let people live.
For sure. And I think that's a massive theme in today's topic because we're going to talk about divorce, which is something that you've been quite open about talking about in your platform. And I'm so grateful that you're able to come onto my podcast and share your story. The first thing that I would love to know is, what was your personal story with going through divorce?
So I basically got married very young and it wasn't like I'd married a long-term boyfriend or a partner. It was very much an introduction type of situation. I was really skeptical at the beginning and I always said to my parents, how do I know that this guy that you present to me is the one person that I'm meant to spend the rest of my life with? And they said, look, just trust us. This is the right thing. You'll be happy. So I did. I went along with it. And I think in my heart, I always knew that he wasn't the right person for me. You know, we were okay in our marriage. We had ups and downs, probably like most marriages. But I think I knew all along that I wasn't happy and he just wasn't the right person for me. I actually couldn't imagine the rest of my life with him. So I always used to go back and forth with the idea of divorce. But it was something that really scared me because nobody talks about divorce and it almost been drilled into my head my whole life that divorce is not accepted and it's not something that you can do. So it was something that I battled with for a long time until it got to the point where I was basically at breaking point and I thought there's no way that I can continue like this.
Was it you that filed for divorce or was it a mutual thing?
Yeah, it was me. But I mean, I'd say the months leading up to it, we'd had a lot of discussions about divorce and it'd been me saying that I think we should get a divorce and him saying no. But I mean, he wasn't saying no for the right reasons. He was saying no because of what people would say. I mean, we were both unhappy in this marriage and it wasn't as though I was the only unhappy one and he was, you know, super happy. So I'm the one that went and did it, but it was definitely the best thing for both of us.
And like, when did like you know in your relationship that a divorce was like the only option left? Because it is quite final, right?
Definitely. And I think that's the thing with divorce. You have to be 100% sure on what you're doing. And up until the point where I went to see the lawyer, I mean, when you go and see a lawyer, you have to be 100% sure. And I'd say it was about 6 months before I went and did that, that I was 100% sure that this is what I wanted. And I knew this is what needed to happen. And it almost took me about 6 months just to get the courage to actually find a lawyer and go and speak to someone and do this. But once I had gone to see her and I talked it through with her, I was so certain in my head. I was 100% certain and there was no one that could have changed my mind.
Mm. How long was your actual divorce? Because I like, know that it's a process.
So we were lucky in the sense that we don't have children and we didn't have many joint assets. So our joint asset was our house, which I always knew, you know, we'd put up for sale. So our entire process took about 7 to 8 months. So it wasn't actually that long. And I know it can be a lot more complicated when you have children and there's things like custody battles involved. And also if you've got quite complicated finances, whereas for myself, our finances were very simple. We didn't really have much shared finances and it was just our house. So the whole process didn't take long. But in that time, I obviously had gone to see the lawyer to file for divorce and then I had to speak to estate agents about putting the house up for sale. I then also had to find somewhere to live because neither of our parents live near London. They both live about 3 hours away. So it's not like we could just move home or move in with our parents. We had to find somewhere to live. And then I had to find somewhere to buy. And the whole 6 months was honestly the biggest blur. All I remember is at the beginning, I got and filed for divorce. And then at the end of it, suddenly I'd moved out and was living on my own somewhere else.
How was that for your mental health? Because like, that's a lot to like comprehend.
It was so much change. And honestly, I am terrible with change. I always find it so difficult. And in those 6 months, every single part of my life changed and it took a massive toll on my mental health. And I think before I actually went and filed for divorce, I was already, you know, hanging on by a thread, my mental health was. And I was severely depressed and I was seeing a therapist. But then all the change that was happening and dealing with all the judgment from people and having to manage sort of what our family were dealing with and what people were saying, but also trying to deal with our own emotions. You know, a lot of time people forget that there are two people here going through a divorce and we're also heartbroken and we're also really sad. You know, when we got married, we didn't think that we'd be here 4 years later getting a divorce. No one plans for that. And so we're also trying to kind of get ourselves together and build our lives again. And that was really difficult.
I think it's so true. Like no one goes into a marriage thinking, do you know what? Yeah, I'm going to get a divorce kind of thing. But how was like your support system and like the people around you? Because obviously that's so important.
Definitely. I honestly cannot thank my friends enough for everything they did for me in that period. So I had a core group of about 4 or 5 of my best friends who honestly were there for me every minute of every day. And they were there if I needed to go cry to them at lunchtime or if I needed to cry to them on FaceTime. There was a lot of crying involved, but they were honestly there as my biggest support. And on the days where I was feeling really low, they would always remind me why I was doing this and how there was happiness in the future, which at the time I found really difficult to believe. I remember saying to my therapist, I don't think there's going to be a day where I'm happy again. And I genuinely did believe that at the time. And it was so nice to have people around me who were keeping me positive. They were reassuring me. But at the same time, if I was feeling really low, they would also just let me be low sometimes. Because I think sometimes you need that. You don't always want someone being super happy and positive in your face all the time while you're crying. So I definitely cannot credit my friends enough. They were amazing. I think with my family, it was definitely a lot harder because they were also dealing with the divorce. And I think it was difficult for them to come to terms with it. So I definitely leaned on my friends a lot more.
There is that stigma still attached to divorce, especially in the South Asian community. And I don't know why. This is my theory. Sometimes people are pressured into marriage so quickly that your foundations are so weak so that when something bad happens, everything kind of crumbles down. I kind of think of it as like a house kind of thing. And I don't know if you watched India Matchmaking, but one of the things that the woman said was that relationships are like biscuits or something. The divorce rate is like really high or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's actually a really great way of describing it, because if your relationship doesn't have a good foundation, when you go through something difficult, you don't know how to cope with it. And marriage is really difficult. And no one tells you that marriage is difficult and marriage is hard. And at the time, no one told me how difficult marriage is. And there are so many different things that you face in your marriage. And if you guys don't have that strong foundation of your relationship where you're supporting each other and you're there for each other, then it can become really, really difficult. And I think with me and my ex-husband, you know, we'd only known each other for a few weeks before we decided to get married, as in actually not before our actual ceremony, but before we actually told people that we wanted to get married. So a few weeks is not a very long time to build a solid foundation. And even before we got married, I'd only known him for 1.5 years. And I definitely don't think that's long enough at all in order to build that ground to have a happy marriage.
So what is one thing that you wish people had told you about marriage that you didn't know?
I wish that they told me how much your life changes. As in, everyone obviously knows their life changes when they get married, but there's so much to balance. I mean, I was 23 when I got married and I was just starting out in my finance career in London. I was trying to balance doing my best at my job with trying to be the best wife possible, which at 23, I didn't really know how to do. And at the same time, I'm also trying to be the best daughter-in-law, because being married to someone in the South Asian community comes with a lot of expectations as a daughter-in-law. And there's a lot of pressure put on you and you're expected to just suddenly on the first day of your marriage be this poster girl for a daughter-in-law. And I think it was really difficult for me to balance all of those. That's one thing that I never even thought about actually before I got married. I didn't even think that that would be a big thing to try and balance them all, but it really was.
I think that's so true. So now that post-divorce happened, what was the things that you kind of learned from your previous relationship with your ex-husband?
Sure. I think the biggest thing that I learned from my divorce was what a healthy relationship should look like. And my marriage was definitely not a healthy relationship. I definitely took time to reflect on myself as well and reflect on my behaviors and reflect on why I would feel a certain way or why I would act a certain way. And that all linked in with things that I've had to deal with my whole life, like low self-worth and low self-confidence. And these were things that I worked on throughout my therapy. And I think a lot of it was actually understanding me and understanding why I felt a certain way, because at the time I was very depressed and I couldn't understand why I felt that way. And going to therapy helped me break down all of the experiences that I've been through in my childhood. And it really helped me understand why I felt the way that I felt. And it helped me understand why I may act a certain way in a relationship or certain characteristics that I have. And it's been really eye-opening actually to look at myself and then look at what a healthy relationship should look like.
And I feel like from what we were talking about before, it's definitely made you stronger as a person as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, I think when I got through my divorce, I genuinely felt like Superwoman. I remember telling my friends, I was like, right, I've done it. I got through my divorce and I survived. And now I genuinely think I can get through anything. And it's nice having that to draw on. So now when I go through something hard or when I go through something terrible and I think, oh, I'm never going to get through this or I'm never going to get over this, I always think back to my divorce and I always tell myself, look, Jigna, you got through your divorce, you can get through anything. And it's so nice to have that to draw on.
And I think like the one of the biggest things in terms of your strength was your vulnerability of it all. And you made a divorce IGTV on your page, which went viral. How did that make you feel? It was like, oh my God, my divorce video has gone viral. What the hell?
Honestly, I was so shocked. I did not think that many people would see it and I did not think it would go viral. But I'm actually so happy that it started this movement almost. And off the back of it, I received so many messages from people who say that my video has given them the strength to talk about their own divorce experiences. And since my video, I've seen so many other people on social media come out and talk about their divorces and not be ashamed about it. And it's so humbling to know that something I did has given people the strength to talk about their experiences. And that is what I wanted from this video. I wanted people to know that if you're feeling this way, you're not alone. And I also really wanted people to know that being divorced is not a weakness and it is not something we should be ashamed of. And it is so nice to see people speaking about it openly on social media.
When I saw your video, I hadn't seen anything like that before about it. And it's just the fact that like, it's like the bit where you started tearing up in it. And I was like, oh my God, my heart. Like, oh.
That was so awkward. Honestly, I am the ugliest crier. And I was like, I cannot cry on video. But yeah, I had to stop myself. But I think also, like you said, it was nice being able to open up and actually tell people, look, this is what I've gone through. But not just me. This is what so many other people go through, whether you're divorced, whether you have mental health struggles, whether you have low confidence. This is how so many people feel. And the reason I made that video is because I didn't see any of this on social media. And I didn't see anyone that I could relate to who had gone through a divorce and was now trying to build her life up again and was dealing with the issues of dating and all of these kinds of things. And that's what actually made me make my video, because I wanted to see if there was other people out there that felt the same way. And I was hoping that I wouldn't be the only one feeling this way.
Definitely, because I do feel like there is this divorce label that people have. And I think a lot of people out there make other people feel bad for being divorced. And it kind of comes across as like you're a failure, because especially in the South Asian community, I think a lot of a person's self-worth is on a relationship, is on being married, is on having kids. So when someone becomes divorced, especially in the older generation, they kind of see it like that's it, your life is over, which is completely untrue. Want to put that out for the record, it's completely untrue. When you were going through your divorce, did people make you feel bad? And did you feel like you had this like divorce label like stuck on you?
Definitely. I feel as though I carried the weight of that divorce label for a long time. It took me a long time to even say to people that I was divorced. And I don't even mean people in my community. I mean, even just people at work. I remember starting a new job and people would say, oh, are you single? Oh, you're not getting pressured into getting married. And I couldn't bring myself to say, oh, been there, done that, I'm divorced. And I don't know why, but I think it's because I still carried the weight of that. And I was always so scared about what people would say. And it definitely took me a long time to come to terms with it, because there's a lot of people around you when you're in the Asian community telling you that what you've done is wrong and telling you that you now need to settle because you're divorced and, you know, you're basically going to get the leftover people. And like you say, there is so much judgment because marriage and children and all of those things are so romanticized in the South Asian community. And we're grown up around Bollywood and we've been sold all of these things about perfect couples and perfect marriages. And that's all they accept. And divorce is not even a dialogue that happens in the South Asian community. And when I was going through that, it was really difficult to have no one around me that could relate to it or even talk to me about it in a positive way.
Yeah, definitely. I think growing up, we've just been taught divorce is not an option. And I think a lot of it was like, you're sticking through this, not realizing how unhappy another person is to the point that it can lead to mental health issues like depression or anxiety. And like the one thing that I really preach is the fact that your happiness is the most important thing like in the world.
Definitely. I always say the most important thing now is about you being happy. When I got married, I feel as though a large part of it was to make my parents happy because that's what they wanted for me. And then even throughout my marriage, when I had issues and I was unhappy, I again stuck through it because I thought, no, I can't make my parents unhappy. And the whole time I was so concerned about making everybody else happy that I forgot about my own happiness. And that is what led me to become so depressed to the point where I was on the verge of taking my own life. And that whole experience just made me realize that the only person's happiness that matters is my own. And that's the only thing I need to focus on now.
The one thing that I'm so curious about is like, you know, all those people in the past that like judged you or said something horrible to you, what would you want to say to them, hypothetically speaking?
I would tell them that getting a divorce was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I don't need pity because it has made me have an incredible life and it's given me happiness more than I ever imagined. And I would like to tell them that getting a divorce is not a weakness and people should not be judged for going through it. It is the best thing that can happen to someone. And it's almost like a second lease of life. You basically get to do life all over again. It's actually quite amazing.
Yeah, it's like a lifeline, so to speak.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that I was going to ask is like, there must have been so much positives that came off the back of your divorce.
So many better things. Even now, when I think back, I always say 2016 was one of the best years of my life, even though that was the year I got divorced, because it almost started off with me being really depressed at the beginning of the year and filing for divorce in January. And then by the end of the year, I was divorced. I'd bought a new flat. I'd moved in. I'd traveled the world in that time. I'd had so many amazing experiences. And there are so many things that I've done in the past 4 years that I never thought I would do when I was married. You know, there's experiences that I've had. There's parts of the world that I've gone to. There's even just things about myself that I feel like I've managed to work on. And that in itself is just so rewarding.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think that when people are going through divorce, they think they're the only one going through it.
Definitely. So many people get divorced these days. And honestly, I sound so grim saying that, but they really do. And I think all we see is people getting married and people putting their relationships on social media. And it lulls you into this false sense of security that you're the only single person on this earth or you're the only divorced person on this earth. But that's not the case. There just aren't enough people that talk about it. And that's one of the things I wanted to do with my video was to bring this whole sense of realness to Instagram and to show that actually there are so many of us out there that are divorced. There are so many of us out there that are single and we're all probably worried about dying alone, but it's fine. There's, you know, you're not alone if you feel that way.
But why, in your opinion, do you think divorce is so stigmatized then?
In the South Asian community?
Yeah.
I think it's because in our parents' generation, divorce was not an option. I mean, I feel like it wasn't in our generation, but in their generation, even more so, it was absolutely not an option. You know, our parents' generation live for what society says and they live for what people will think. And there's no dialogue at all about people voicing concerns about an unhappy marriage. And it's almost a given that if you're in an unhappy marriage, you stick with it. And I think that's all our parents know. And that's basically what's been pushed down onto us as children. And growing up, that was all I heard. You know, divorce is not an option. You can't get divorced. You'll be ostracized from the community if you get divorced. And I think it's because they see it as a sign of failure. And there's so much pride and ego, I think, sometimes in the South Asian community. No one just wants to accept that they've got a divorce because something didn't go right. I think there's a lot of people only highlight their wins and people only talk about the good things and no one wants to talk about the bad because they fear that they're going to get judged. I guess for me, that's the one thing that I want to change is that divorce shouldn't be seen as a bad thing. It shouldn't be seen as a failure.
Yeah, and I definitely think there's a culture shift, because I feel like for me, I don't see divorce as a bad thing. I just see it as a breakup. It's just the fact that because you solidified your relationship legally, you just need to then break up legally as well. And that's just divorce.
Exactly. Like, I went through so many breakups before this marriage. Nobody cares about those. Then I go and get divorced and suddenly there's all of this judgment. And it is literally, the difference is a piece of paper. That is literally it. At the end of the day, a relationship is a relationship. And a marriage can be the same relationship as people who have been dating for years and aren't married.
And like we said before, there are such an increased levels of a divorce. So if there's anybody listening that is going through a divorce, like, what advice would you give to them?
I would tell them that there will be a day when they're happy again. And even though now it feels like the worst thing in the world, and it feels like your life has ended, and it feels as though you'll never be happy again, that's not the case. And there will be a day where you are so happy and you'll look back on your divorce as though it was the best thing that happened to you. So even though it's difficult now, just power through, stick with it, and you honestly have so much happiness waiting for you.
Oh, so beautiful. And the one thing that I'm so intrigued about is dating after divorce, because it must have been so difficult to go from that shift of being in a relationship with a person for a really long time, then all of a sudden be like, oh, I'm single now.
It was so weird. Honestly, I did not know how to flirt anymore. I would had basically become the most awkward human being. And I'd been married for 4 years, but I'd obviously been with my ex-husband for 5 years. And suddenly I was single. I was now in the age of dating apps, which didn't exist before I was married. And so I was like, what is Tinder? What are all of these apps? That was apparently now the way that you found people. And so it was a whole new world for me. And it was definitely scary. Like I said, I had absolutely no chat. I didn't know how to speak to people. But I think at the same time, I was also really scared about telling people I'm divorced, because I just didn't know how it was going to be received. Like, I dated before I got married and that was fine. But after you get divorced, I feel like it's a whole other ball game.
Did people get put off, like, if you went on a date with someone?
Yeah, definitely. There are actually, you know, people out there who do have an issue with it. But I think at the beginning, it used to really get me down. It used to bother me. But now I just think, actually, you're filtering yourself out for me. Because if you see my divorce as a bad thing, or if you have an issue with it, then you're not the kind of person that I want to be with.
Boy, bye.
Exactly.
That's actually the one thing I'm so curious about. Like, did your divorce ever affect your dating life?
I would say, I don't think it affected my dating life overall. I think when I first started dating, I was so anxious. I think that was probably just, you know, coming out of the divorce and being out of the dating game for a while. I was really anxious. I was really nervous about telling people I was divorced. But over time, that definitely eases up. And after my divorce, I was actually in a long-term relationship. He didn't care that I was divorced at all. I remember when I told him, he was so unfazed by it. And it was so nice to be able to tell someone and not have them care. And there are a lot of people out there who don't care about your divorce. And there are a lot of people out there who actually see it as a strength, and they understand the bravery that it takes to go through a divorce.
I think dating, whether you're divorced or you're not divorced or you're single, it's just honestly, like, long.
It's stressful.
It's so stressful. I just don't understand. Like, I'm literally, I can't flex to save my life. And I'm literally just there like, because I'm such a simpleton, and I'm just literally like, either you like me or you don't like me. What is this in between games of ghosting me, taking 3 days to reply?
It's so exhausting. Honestly, I feel like I've always hated dating anyway, and I hated dating before I got divorced. And then now I hate it even more. And I go through so many phases where I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm ready. Let's go. Let's meet some boys. And then I go through phases where I really can't be bothered and I really don't want to date. And it's constantly just up and down.
I feel you, girl. That is me. That is me to a T. It's literally like a CBA. Okay, let me find it. CBA. Is that really up, down, up, down, up, down?
It's just so long.
It's so long. Another one thing that I really want to know, actually, is like, have you had any bad dating fails? Like, you're like,
Do you know what? I haven't had anything terrible. But do you know what is the worst thing? Is when you're on a date with someone and you know there's no vibe, there's no spark. It feels like you've been there for about 3 hours, but it's actually only been 20 minutes. They're honestly the worst. And you somehow have to get through this whole evening with someone who you don't really, who doesn't really have any chat. You don't have any chemistry with them. But I think that's why I would always say on a first date, don't do dinner, do drinks, because then you can always bail after one drink if you have to. If you've got dinner, you're basically stuck with them for an entire meal. But no, I haven't had anything too terrible. But yeah, I think they're definitely the awkward ones.
Yeah. And like, there's some people that are really good via texting, but then in real life they're so dead, and I'm a bit like, but how? Like, you're a great texter.
I don't get that. Sometimes I wonder whether they have someone else texting for them or what is going on. Because it's so annoying when you get on really well with someone over chat and then you see them in person and there's no vibe. And you're like, I don't get this. And then you go back to chat and it's great. And you're like, what? There's such a disconnect sometimes.
Honestly. And I guess like we're saying, like, dating can be a bit long, but how do you keep positive like whilst dating?
Oh, it is difficult, you know. I mean, I still now do believe that the right person that I'm meant to be with will turn up. During lockdown, I'm probably expecting him to just turn up at my door. But, you know, I'm sure when lockdown's over and I'm out and about a bit more, I really do believe that I will meet the right person. And every time a date goes wrong, I just tell myself, look, they clearly weren't the right person for me. It's just filtering out all the people I'm not supposed to be with. So that's how I get through. I think you just got to have that belief, I guess.
No, definitely. Like, I feel like every single time a date goes badly, I'm like, thank you, God, for saving me from this human heart attack, because it would have gone wrong anyway.
Human heart attack. Exactly. This is what I think about my divorce. When I look back, I'm like, nah, God had my back. God was sorting me out with that divorce. So I've just got to keep faith that it's going to be fine going forward. He's got me, so it's okay.
Like, genuinely, like you, like, I think I'm a massive believer it will happen when it happens and when the time is right. Right now, I just got to focus on me. And like, we just got to do us, right? And
exactly.
We're both doing so well in terms of like our full-time jobs and our side hustles and stuff. So I just feel like whoever, and I'm generally a massive believer that like that person should always add into your life rather than take anything away. And the one thing that I realize is that there are some narcissistic controlling people out there that do not want the best for you and are very, very selfish.
100%. Exactly. And I think there's so much pressure on people to get married by a certain age or meet someone by a certain age. And, you know, I'm 32 at the moment and I'm single. And I do not feel the lack of a man in my life. Because like you say, the most important thing is to focus on yourself, have good mental health, be in a good place. And then, you know, the people will arrive. It's fine. You shouldn't have a situation where your whole life is based around a guy. That's not a healthy situation. So I think, like you said, it will always happen at the right time.
Definitely. And I know, like, during lockdown, you can't really date. Although the one thing that I did surprise, you know, where you're like, I'm at lockdown, I sat in my house. And I was like, can you imagine if like your future bae was like your Amazon delivery driver that was just coming every day with parcels?
Do you know what, you say that, it's so funny. I always have the same delivery driver delivering my ASOS parcels. And I'm not joking. He must be so sick of seeing me. I think I saw him more than anyone out of the whole of lockdown. And I think, you know, we're not on first name basis or anything, but you never know.
Yeah, you never know. Do you know what? Were you doing that thing where there was like a parcel a day? But just arriving, you're like...
Yeah.
Like, I live with my parents. So I would just be like, I don't know who ordered this. This was not me. It was me. But...
No, luckily I live alone. So no one is policing my parcels. So it's fine.
That's so funny. And like, I think one thing, like we said, that dating is quite hard. And do you have any dating advice for people who are currently trying to date?
I would say if you're dating, the main thing is to go with the flow. Don't think of it as a tick box exercise. I think going to each date with an open mind. Don't think about whether, oh, can I marry this guy? Can I see my future? Can I see this? The most important thing is to have a connection, have good chat, feel a vibe. And I think the only way that you can do that is if you're feeling relaxed, you're not putting too much pressure on yourself. And I think just go and have fun. Like, dating is meant to be fun at the end of the day. And if all else fails, just see it as an evening out with someone that you've got to have a drink with.
Exactly. At the end of the day, like, you want to build a friendship first. See it as like, well, they're either a friend or they're just, like you said, someone that I just spent an evening with. And it's like, okay, see you, bye. Never going to talk to you, never.
Exactly. Like, you will know if you get on with them, if you feel a vibe, and if you feel like you have to force it, then they're probably not the right one for you.
Definitely. And I think one thing is also like, say, keep an open mind, but also just be quite wary. And like, when I say open mind means in all aspects, that see the positives and the negatives, because I think sometimes we go into it like rose tinted glasses and it's like, oh my God, they're super cute. And you get so into that, that you don't see the red flags at the start. And one thing someone told to me, and I was like, wow, that's actually really true, is the red flags that you see at the start are the reasons why your relationship ends. So be so wary of those red flags and know what your red flags are as well.
Absolutely.
Like, you know how some people are like, my red flag is like if they have like long hair, and I'm like, girl, that's not a red flag.
That is definitely not a red flag.
Yeah. Like, that was like, are they respectful? Do they treat women well? Or do they have an ego? Like, that's a red flag.
Exactly. And you know, like you said, I've been in so many relationships where I've just ignored red flags at the beginning of the relationship and I've just had massive rose tinted glasses, carried on. And then, like you said, the relationship ends because of those exact reasons. So it's always good to just be aware of those from the beginning.
Definitely. And the one thing that I'm so intrigued about with you is that finding your voice, because you come across as so confident and like just like living your best life. And I love that. I genuinely love that. But the one thing that you did say was like, you did struggle with self-esteem and self-worth and stuff. How has that journey been for you?
Yeah, I honestly think that has been such a struggle for me my whole life. It really wasn't until I got a divorce that I realized that was even an issue for me. And it was at that point where I had to look at myself and think, okay, why do I feel this way? And it was because of my low self-worth and my low self-confidence. And going to therapy is the one thing that really helped me work on that. It really helped me understand why I have low self-confidence. And he used to do little exercises with me to help me build it up. So one of the things that he made me do was he made me write a list in my phone of all the positive things about myself. He made me constantly go through the list so that I could actually basically train my brain to think about myself in a positive way. Being able to make my Instagram videos and being able to do that has been almost part of the journey, because putting myself out there has really helped me build up my confidence. And I feel as though, you know, being able to speak to people about that and being able to open up about my experiences has also helped build my confidence. And it's not something that I could do before. I feel like I've always been quite shy and quite nervous and quite socially awkward. And it's been really nice to almost put myself in situations that scare me, because I think that's the only way that you actually face some of your fears. And it's the only way that you actually grow.
And I obviously, being vulnerable on social media is so difficult, but it's the one thing that I really commend in people, because vulnerability is such a strength and it's something that we're not taught, especially growing up South Asian. I actually had to Google vulnerability and there actually isn't a vulnerability, like the word vulnerability in Punjabi, which really annoys me.
Really?
Yeah. I was like to my mom, like, what does vulnerability mean? She's like, what is vulnerability? And I'm like, how the F am I supposed to explain that to you now?
Well, that's the thing. I remember I was honestly so nervous before I put my divorce video out. I was like full on sweating and I was shaking and I was so scared about putting this video out, because I think I was so scared about how it would be received and I didn't know if it would be received negatively. I think part of my healing has actually been being able to speak about these experiences and being able to open up. And I think knowing that sharing my experience is helping somebody out there has honestly just given me a purpose during this lockdown. And it's made me feel so good that I can help people in that way and help people through their divorce. Because when I was going through my divorce, no one around me was divorced. I didn't have family that were divorced. I didn't have friends that were divorced. At the time, Instagram was a very different place and there weren't bloggers who were talking about it. And so I feel like I had to muddle through it almost. And it's so nice now to be able to use everything that I've learned to help other people that are going through it now.
No, for sure. And I think you're doing a brilliant job with it.
Thank you.
And talking about social media, how did you even start blogging and your Instagram page?
So I actually started back when I was married. So I've always been into fashion and beauty. I am absolutely fashion and beauty obsessed. So I started a YouTube channel a couple of years ago and I used to do makeup tutorials, hair tutorials, literally all tutorials on my YouTube channel. And then I actually stopped whilst I was going through my divorce because I find it really hard to be on camera. And when you're upset or when you've got things going on or when, you know, you're as depressed as I was at the time, it really comes across. And I found it really hard to be this perky, upbeat person doing makeup tutorials whilst I was, you know, struggling with my divorce. But I also didn't have it in me at the time to be vulnerable on camera and open up about my divorce and discuss that. So I took a break for a bit while I was dealing with all that. And then at the beginning of this year, I decided I wanted to go back to focusing on it again. And, you know, lockdown has given me the perfect opportunity to go back to my videos and make those for people. And it's been so nice to be able to do that.
I think what you're doing is honestly so, so, so great. And where did your love for fashion come from?
I actually don't know. I think even when I was younger, I have always been into styling, but also like designing my own clothes. I remember when I was younger, I used to have a sketchbook and I used to just draw dresses. And I loved the whole designing aspect. I love styling. I love getting a piece of clothing and then thinking, okay, how am I going to wear this in multiple outfits? And that's what I love that I can do with my videos, because a lot of my videos, I try and get like an item of clothing and I try and do 5 different ways that you can style it, because then at least that way people can invest in something. It is helping people figure out their clothes. And that's what I really enjoy.
And that's what I love about your videos, is the fact that like I've actually feel like I've become quite minimalistic recently. And you know how sometimes you just have too many clothes and it's overwhelming and you're like, I don't know what the F to wear.
Yeah.
I'm like, especially now, I definitely need fashion advice because I've actually forgotten how to do fashion because I live in like massive hoodies and like shorts, like
pajamas. Yeah. I know. To be honest, even I'm living in pajamas like for the past 9 months.
Even now, like if I have to go to Tesco's or like supermarket, I'm like, this is the one day I get to dress up.
Oh no, I've been going to Tesco in my pajamas. Honestly, they must look at me and think, who is this homeless person that keeps coming into Tesco? Because that's me in Tesco's.
And I think like very similar to you, actually, I think everyone growing up had Barbie dolls. I used to like get random material and I used to not make dresses, but I used to like plan how I would have dresses on my Barbie dolls. And I was like, I don't know why, but I feel like most girls wanted to be fashion designers.
Definitely. It's so fun. And it's just so exciting dressing up and styling stuff. And even now, if I get a piece of clothing that I don't like, I will literally like cut it or adjust it or put some straps on it or do something because I'm really short as well. So a lot of the time I'm having to like shorten some trousers or shorten a dress or do something. So I really enjoy being able to do that.
Do you know how to sew?
I do, yeah. So I learned at school. And then after that, I was obsessed with sewing. I used to sew the little patterns. I used to sew clothes. I sew all sorts of things. So yeah, I just hand sew everything.
Yeah, same. I'm obsessed with it. My mom's so good at sewing and I always have ideas. And I've been really into thrifted clothing recently. And I'll literally buy like really men's like extra large t-shirts and I make them into like crop tops or something. And I'll have this idea and I'll be like, Mom, can you do this with me?
Oh, so it's exciting though, isn't it? And it's so nice. It's almost like a little project that you have to work on.
Yeah. No, it's so great. Oh my God, Jigla, thank you so much for coming on my podcast and chatting. I feel like I could chat to you for hours. But the one thing that I am going to do before we actually say goodbye is to do a little quick fire round. And it's very fashion, beauty, like related.
Okay,
are you
great.
Ready?
I'm ready. Let's do this.
First question is, what is one fashion trend that you're currently loving right now?
Ooh, oversized arms, like balloon arms, loving those.
What is one wardrobe staple that you think everybody should have in their wardrobes?
A camel coat. I say that because I've recently bought a new one and I'm obsessed with it. But honestly, it's such a versatile piece. You can wear it in summer, you can wear it in winter. It's camel, it goes with everything. So I'd say a good camel coat is such a wardrobe staple.
What's your favorite thing about London?
Christmas. I love London at Christmas. It's my favorite time of the year and nothing beats it. It's always so magical.
For sure. Okay, you've got to choose makeup or clothes?
Clothes.
If you can only have three makeup items in your bag, what would they be?
It would be eyeliner, lip balm and concealer.
Who would be someone, anybody in the world, that you would love to style slash do their makeup?
That is a great question. Okay, I'd say makeup. I would love to do Deepika Padukone's makeup. I am full on obsessed with her and she has the most amazing eyes. I think it'd just be amazing to do makeup on her face. And I think styling wise, I'd love to style someone like Michelle Obama. I think she has such a presence and, you know, she could rock a power suit. So I'd love to style her.
Next question is, what is your favorite quote?
I would say, if it's not going to matter in 5 years, don't spend 5 minutes thinking about it.
I love that one. That is so awesome. It's so hard hitting.
Exactly. You know, I went through a phase where I was always stressing about stuff. And then I read that quote and I thought, you know what? It's so right. How much of my life have I spent worrying about things that have never mattered? So if it's not going to matter in 5 years, don't spend 5 minutes thinking about it.
Okay, next question. And I thought this is going to be a difficult one for you. Is what's your favorite fashion store to shop at?
Okay, if I had to pick one forever, it would be Zara. Honestly, Zara's autumn winter wardrobe is something that I could buy completely. Their summer stuff, not so much, but their autumn winter, I could live in it.
Well, that's where you're going Black Friday then.
Definitely. I've already been stalking the website.
And finally, do you have a fashion purchase that you regret?
Yes. Oh, I have two actually, honestly. So I bought two pairs of Louboutin shoes. And I bought them a couple of years ago and they are so painful. I'm not joking. I've worn both pairs once and I spent an obscene amount of money on them. And now they're just displayed in my glam room because I can't actually wear them outside because they're so painful. And I go through phases where I'm like, all right, I'm going to wear these boots and I try them on. I'm like, nope, still too painful. And I've tried putting insole cushions and yeah, honestly, it's heartbreaking. So they're the two that I definitely regret.
Oh, man. Jignat, thank you so much for coming on. I've literally enjoyed this conversation so much. I literally don't know where the time's gone because I think time's just flown by.
I know. Thank you so, so much for having me. It's been such a good chat.
I really hope you found that episode informative and learned something from it. I know I did. Divorces are heartbreaking and it can make you feel like you're alone. But trust me when I say that you're not. So if you know someone who's going through a divorce who you think will benefit from this episode, then please do send it to them. Also, I'm always here to listen. So if you want to share your story around divorce, you can tweet me or send me an Instagram DM at prettypersonal, or you can email me at itsprettypersonal@gmail.com. Or if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, then you can write your thoughts in the review box as well. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to this podcast because I do release new episodes every single Tuesday. So I guess I'll speak to you guys next week. Take care. Bye.